So this morning also flows out of this leadership retreat and of the direction I feel the Lord has been taking me personally in helping us be a church that's healthy and fruitful and united. And so I've entitled this message, Seeing People as God Sees Them. So again, let's go to Isaiah 6. We alluded to it a moment ago. Get your outline out of your bulletin. Isaiah 6, let's pray. Lord, thank you for the miracle of the church. It's a stunning, staggering, amazing thing to consider that we are your body on this earth, that you're on the earth, that we're your body on the earth, that your spirit animates us and fills us and controls us and leads us and empowers us, so that unlike when you were on the earth before and could only be in one place at the same time, you are all over this world. And Lord, I believe that we live in a kingdom of miracles. We live in a kingdom where amazing things happen that cannot be explained by just human organization, but by the power that raised Jesus from the dead. Lives being transformed radically. A community that loves each other deeply and sacrificially, that can work through the superficial tensions and cultural differences, Lord, to a people that, Lord, are willing to lay down their lives for one another. And so, Lord, as the community watches and they see how English and Hispanic and men and women and boys and girls and educated and uneducated and wealthy and impoverished can come together in one body, may it cause them to worship you and be drawn to the warmth of that fire, to come out of the cold of hate and prejudice and self-absorption to a place, Lord, where there can be no denying that Jesus is a risen Savior who is alive in His people, the church. And so, Lord, bless us in our moments together tonight as we want to be people who see others as you see them. In Jesus' name, amen. And again, I'm just going to touch on this, but Isaiah 6, verse 1, in the year of King Uzziah's death, I saw the Lord. I saw the Lord sitting on a throne, lofty and exalted, with the train of his robe filling the temple. Seraphim stood above him, each having six wings. With two he covered his face, with two he covered his feet, and with two he flew. And one called out to another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the foundations of the thresholds trembled at the voice of him who called out, while the temple was filling with smoke. And so notice on your outline that Isaiah speaks of this upward look, an upward look. A view of the Lord in his inexpressible glory, his irresistible beauty. And as a result, there was, beginning in verse 5, an inward look. Woe is me, for I am ruined. I am a man of unclean lips, for I live among a people of unclean lips, for my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. When you see the Lord as he has revealed himself, then you see yourself as he sees you. And the redemptive blessing of doing it that way is that you are immediately led to the solution of the crisis. When you see the Lord as He is, there is an instant crisis because we realize we're not Him. He's not like us. And our nakedness is immediately revealed and the judgment that we are deserving of is felt in a way that isn't before. And so immediately, verse 6, one of the seraphim flew to me with a burning coal in his hand, which he had taken from the altar with tongs. A burning coal from the altar of sacrifice. Verse 7, he touched my mouth with it and said, behold, this has touched your lips, and your iniquity is taken away, and your sin is forgiven. And it is our desire for every single one of you to know the joy of sins forgiven, to be secure in his love, to be assured of his acceptance of you, and to look forward with great anticipation to the day when faith will be sight, and to know you've been walking faithfully with him and you have a great reward waiting for you in heaven. That's the desire. That's the goal for every single one of you, for every single one of us. But notice, after the upward look and the inward look, verse 8, then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send, and who will go for us? Then Isaiah said, here am I, send me. An upward look, an inward look, then the outward look. So, since you've called me to be your interim, and then as the English pastor, I've been very intentional about, through the preaching, lifting high Yahweh, giving us a view of our great God, that we might be led to this same moment of crisis as Isaiah experienced, to say, Lord, woe is me. I need your cleansing. I need your healing. I need your forgiveness. And now as experience the assurance of that forgiveness and that acceptance, we can say, all right, Lord, what's the mission? What's the call? And so I want to say, and again, notice your outline this morning, that we have a spiritual household that the Master has called us to feed. I'd invite you to turn to Luke 12, verse 42. Luke 12, verse 42, and I think we have it. And the Lord said, who then is the faithful and sensible steward whom his master will put in charge of his servants to give them their rations at the proper time? So first of all, let me ask this question. Who is in my spiritual household? Now, households today are different. They usually would have parents and children, but then a household was much larger and at minimum would have at least three generations. A house, they would just keep adding to the house. So it wasn't unusual to have your grandparents or even your great-grandparents in the same house. All the servants would be included in the household too. So for us in Indiana in 2020, our spiritual household would include certainly our immediate family, our church family, our friends, our extended family, our neighbors, our classmates, our coworkers, the people we do business with on a regular basis. And the call of the Master is for us as stewards of the household is to feed the people in our sphere of influence, in our spiritual household, with the right proportion of food. So what is the food that I am to give in the right proportion? Well, I believe that's the Word of God, and most especially, it is the gospel of Christ. Everybody in your household is in a different place spiritually. Many are lost, but many are saved too, and your ministry to them will look differently. But there is a word to be given to the people that you interact with on a regular basis. every day, your interaction with the people you know and the people you meet who walk into your household, they should be nudged toward the kingdom, if I can put it that way. There's something about your spirit. There's something about just you having eyes to see them. The words that you speak, the acts of kindness that you perform, something that lets them know they've had a supernatural encounter with somebody who's different. And it should once in a while occur to them that something really miraculous just happened, that a servant from Almighty God has entered my life to remind me that God knows who I am and that He loves me. That's the adventure of following Jesus. So it leads to number two in your outline. Do you see the people in your spiritual household the way Jesus sees them? And so quickly, let's go to a familiar passage, Matthew 9. Matthew 9, beginning in verse 35. Matthew 9, 35. Jesus was going through all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom and healing every kind of disease and every kind of sickness. And then I love this phrase in verse 36. Seeing the people. Seeing the people. He saw them. And seeing them in the way his father saw them, he felt compassion for them because they were distressed and dispirited like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Therefore, beseech the Lord of the harvest to send out workers into his harvest." I am struck with those times when I am in New York City, in a city where 800 languages are spoken, but 8 million people live and 20 million people work Monday through Friday. 20 million people work in the greater New York City area. And you will discover that when you're riding in the subway, stuffed in like, you know, the proverbial sardines in a can, or walking on the sidewalk, you are absolutely invisible to the people all around you. And most of them wear earbuds now because they want to make sure you don't disturb. But it's like you're not even there. And how is it possible that 20 million people can walk and live and work as if there aren't 20 million other people around them? But that is how they live. Most people are invisible because we are so self-absorbed. Me too. So, got some videos for you today, and I want you to see this short one called Test Your Awareness. Do the test. I think you'll find it fun. So let's have that one now.
The answer is 13. But did you see the moonwalking bear?
That's an awareness ad for making sure you know there's motorcycles out there. But I thought, man, what a spiritual application that is. Do we go through the day with eyes that see? Are we looking for evidence that God is at work all around us and that He is leading us to people that He has prepared by His Holy Spirit? Did you know that? One of the things that keeps us silent in our witness is that we forget that the Holy Spirit is in the world convicting people of sin, righteousness, and judgment. And they're waiting for you to either plant the seed or water a seed that somebody else has planted or bring forth the harvest, the increase. God is already gone before you if we have eyes to see. And that's why we made a big deal last week about not wanting to be the Laodicean church that thought they could see, but they were blind and didn't even know it. And here was a great example of how we can be so focused on one thing, we're missing something pretty crazy. A moonwalking bear, yes. All right. When we do notice people, if we're honest, we are annoyed by them, or we can be intimidated by them, or disgusted by them, or suspicious of them, or we can envy them, or be jealous of them, or lust for them. But do we see them as Jesus sees them? You know, as you go through your day, is there in your heart this, wow, that is a sheep that so needs a shepherd? Sheep don't do well without shepherds. It never ends well for the sheep. And every day we see shepherdless sheep. And that's what Jesus saw. When you see somebody, I don't care what color they are. I don't care where they were born. You see them as fearfully and wonderfully made by a God who has made them to uniquely glorify Him in this world. You see them as made in the image of God. Do you see them as souls for whom Jesus died? Do you see them on a path to eternal life or eternal death? Do you see them as somebody like yourself with families to support and great burdens and needs and fears and dreams, just like you, just like me? So in the second video, you're going to see a man who is seeing people how we typically do on a stressful day as he's trying to get to work. And then he's introduced to somebody who helps him to see those same people in a radically different way. Let's take that one now.
That kid, every time I'm pulling out, he's right there. Man, someone needs to talk to his parents if they're ever at home. What is up with the traffic today? And always, every day, this intersection is always crowded. I hate pulling out of here. I need some of these dumb roads. Oh, there's... Okay, so I'm not even here. Right. Great lady. The princess of parking. Sure. Take the spot. Way to be considerate. Oh... Kidding me? Unbelievable. Oh.
Thank you, man.
About time. Let's see. What do I want?
Yeah. Could I add a cookie to that order?
Yeah, no problem.
Yeah. No problem, only guy in the world. I'm sure you need your cookie. The world, your oyster, and he's serving your cookie.
Thank you so much.
Uh-huh. What can I get for you?
Yeah, I'll have a tall decaf macchiato.
Yeah, sure, no problem.
$3.85. And it might take a few minutes here. We've got quite a line, obviously, and thanks for your patience.
Great.
Yeah, great. Great for me. Waiting again. Unbelievable. What? 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 Thank you. What is that? What in the world? What am I supposed to do? How can I do anything about that? Can I even help with that? I don't...
Your copy, sir. Oh.
I can't take this anymore. I gotta get out of here.
Hey, watch.
Hey, buddy, come here.
Beloved, I hope in this year that we will see the greatness, number three on your outline, you see the greatness. You see greatness as serving the people in your spiritual household. In Matthew 20, 25 through 28, of course, in fact, let's go ahead and take just a moment. You're already in Matthew. Look at Matthew 20. Verse 25, Jesus called them to himself and said, "You know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their great men exercise authority over them. It is not this way among you, but whoever wishes to become great among you shall be your servant. And whoever wishes to be first among you shall be your slave. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, to give his life a ransom for many." Book I would highly recommend, it'd be awesome for walk groups, called God Space, where spiritual conversations happen naturally. And I just wanted to share this one idea because it's close by in Xenia, Ohio. This group of young adults decided to partner with the local fire department to demonstrate God's love in a practical way to the city of Xenia. We explained to the fire chief that we wanted to bless the elderly in our community by replacing the batteries in their smoke alarms for free. He was genuinely moved by our offer. Our local Walmart also loved the idea and donated the batteries. The fire department already knew where most of the elderly resided, which is the beauty of partnering with a local institution. There's no sense in reinventing the wheel or spending time doing homework that's already been done. We provided the initiative and the manpower. They provided the maps and the fire trucks to drive us around the city. When we approached a senior citizen's door with a fireman by our side, nobody asked us who we were, why we were doing this. Our purposeful partnership gave us instant legitimacy. Once we were in the door, our act of kindness served as the key to open a more important door, the heart. The firemen listened to our spiritual conversations and watched as we prayed for the needs we discovered through our conversations. They were now a part of something bigger than themselves. They were experiencing God's space. So guess what happened next? While we were driving around, one of the firemen began to open up about the problems he was having in his life. What he had just witnessed had given him the confidence to do something most guys just don't do, admit weakness. This wouldn't have happened if he hadn't felt safe. The spiritual conversation that followed flowed naturally out of our shared experience. And over the next couple of weeks, our interns continued to meet with this man, and within a month, they had the privilege of leading him to Jesus. Amen. So, just as we close, what are some practical things that we can do with this message? Okay. I would encourage everyone of us to make a most wanted list of people you will pray for regularly. So you cannot imagine how large your spiritual household is. It's a lot bigger than you think. You have much more influence than you know. You touch more people, and when you add the people that they touch, your network of humanity is extraordinarily large. But I suggest a most wanted list of 10 people that you have regular contact with in your spiritual household that you can begin to just target with prayer. Just regularly praying for God's Holy Spirit to be working in the heart of that man, that woman, that boy, that girl. All right? People you will pray for regularly. And then I want to tell you about just some marvelous, wonderful, golden evangelism tool. I want to encourage every one of you with a smartphone to download the Spread Truth app. Spread Truth. In a moment, I'm going to show you a video. This app will allow you to send this gospel video, which talks about creation, fall, rescue, restoration. You can text it or email it to anybody on earth. Beautifully presented gospel story. Once a month, Spread Truth then will email or text you a report with where that thing went across the country or around the world. So if you texted it to a friend in Albuquerque, and then he texts it to another friend in San Francisco, and then he's talking to somebody in Baghdad, yes, there are Christians talking to interested unbelievers all around the world. And this thing is circling the globe. Millions and millions of people are getting the gospel through this app. And so I'm going to show you the video right now. Let's do the story.
There is only one story that answers life's most essential questions and gives a lasting sense of purpose and meaning. It's the story that inspires all other stories. It's the true story that defines every one of us. This is that story. How did it all begin? Like all stories, this one begins in the beginning with the author, who is God. He spoke everything into being. With a word, galaxies appeared with stars and planets. Earth was designed for life to flourish. Everything God made was gloriously good and breathtakingly perfect. The highlight of God's creation was the first man and woman, Adam and Eve. God entrusted everything he created to his beloved children, giving just one rule. They were not to eat fruit from a specific tree. They lived in loving obedience, worshiping God as their heavenly Father, and enjoying perfect harmony with creation, each other, and God. Considering our world today, it's obvious perfect peace didn't last. Turmoil, war, sickness, troubles. We each have our share. What went wrong? It started when a fallen angel named Satan grew jealous of God and determined to ruin the perfection of creation. Satan took the form of a serpent and enticed Adam and Eve to question God's goodness and rebel against his one rule. In disobedience, they ate the fruit, and peace unraveled. ushering in sin and death, which still plagues us today. If we are honest, we are very much like Adam and Eve. We all rebel against our Heavenly Father, making our hearts heavy with fear, guilt, and shame. Our bodies are weary with sickness, disease, and death. Earth is afflicted with storms, calamities, and disasters. Even worse, sin has separated us from God, causing a permanent divide, a miserable separation called hell. The fallout of sin has been catastrophic. It's inescapable, with no way to fix it, leaving us all to wonder, is there any hope? The love that prompted God to create us also prompted Him to send a Savior who would set everything right again. As centuries passed, God shared exact details of the coming Savior's birth, life, and death. Everything in the Bible points to this rescuer. Almost 2,000 years ago, Jesus came to earth as God the Son to fulfill the promise. He was born miraculously, as His mother was a virgin. Just like us, Jesus grew up and experienced life on earth. But unlike us, Jesus never sinned and always obeyed the Father. When Jesus was in his 30s, he began teaching all around Israel, pointing people to God's kingdom, and performing many miracles. After a few years, he was wrongly accused and sentenced to an agonizing death on a cross. Jesus lovingly gave up his perfect life as a sacrifice to pay for the sins of mankind. He died a perfect death, taking our place, the innocent for the guilty. But the grave couldn't hold Jesus. 3 days later, God brought Jesus to life again. Jesus defeated sin by dying on the cross and defeated death by rising from the dead. Today, Jesus sits at God's right hand as King and Judge over all creation. This is the story of rescue God has authored. He invites us, through repentance and faith, to make His story of rescue the one we trust in and live from. When we do, everything changes. And now, what will the future hold? For everyone who trusts in Jesus alone for rescue, God has promised to restore your heart and set you free from sin's hold. Because God is loving, kind, merciful, forgiving, tender-hearted, and true. God has also promised to make all things new. One day, there will be a new heaven and a new earth, forever free from sin. Everything that causes pain and sadness will be gone. God has also promised to be with us forever. The moment you trust in Jesus, your relationship with God is restored because Jesus has closed the divide sin caused. Getting to know this all-loving God starts today and continues forever. For God's story never ends. You can make God's story the foundation of your life even now by admitting your need for God's rescue, asking forgiveness for your sin, trusting in Jesus Christ alone to rescue you, following Jesus in faith from this moment on. This is God's story. Will you make it yours?
So, beloved, when you download the app, you can choose one of 21 languages. So I've had people I could not talk to because I didn't know Russian, but I would get the booklet form of that and have them read it in their own language out loud. They were reading the gospel in Russian or whatever language it was. 21 languages. Again, think about not only your spiritual household, all the people you know, all the people you work with and contact, and then all the people they know, but then multiply that by the size of our church. And think of how the Heavenly Father, through the means available to us today, are allowing us here at the corner of Five Points, East Thompson Road, to touch the world with the gospel. So please do that. Very quickly, as I am aware of our time, invite to church, obviously. Invite people. And it would be nice if you said, hey, and then let's have lunch after. Or invite somebody to your home. It doesn't have to be for a meal. Maybe for coffee and a piece of pie or a piece of cake. Show interest in that person's life. Don't stalk them, but be interested. And if you know that person has a loved one in the hospital, ask, how did your mother's surgery go? Take something for them to eat. Visit. And then a neat idea that's been really powerful for a lot of people over the years, read something together with that person. Maybe you'll read through the Gospel of John, one chapter a week for 3 weeks, 21 chapters. Or Mere Christianity by C.S. Lewis, or The Case for Christ by Lee Strobel. They're just countless ideas. But God has said this. Our role is to proclaim. Our role is to plant. Our role is to water. It's God that brings the increase. And He's already working. He is sovereignly drawing people to Himself. And so may this be a way of life for us as we connect with our Lord and get right with Him, as we get healthy as a church, as we connect with each other, then we're in a place to really have fruit that remains. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for our time today. And Lord, we pray this as we go to walk groups, as we talk at home, at dinner, as Lord, I pray that there was just the beginning of ideas being stimulated, creativity being stimulated, at how, Lord, we can be the church. And so, Lord, thank you for being with us today. In Jesus' name, amen.